seeking now the much needed help of God, I would direct your attention to a word you'll find in the Gospel according to John chapter 16 and the first part, verse 22. John chapter 16 and verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Lord Jesus Christ is here speaking to his disciples. He is about to be taken from them. And I was looking at this word and I thought, well, ye now therefore have sorrow. And I thought, well, how many of the Lord's people really know what this sorrow is that the Lord is speaking of here? Because it's a sorrow that his people experience. And that sorrow is this. It's when Christ is, it seems as though he's taken away from us. It's as though Christ has been withdrawn. But as I was looking at this verse this morning, and I thought this, yes, we come to God's house, we come for the service of God's house, but how many of us are sorrowing in that way because we want Christ? Now that's the most important thing this morning. It doesn't matter what we think of ourselves, what we think of others, what we think about our religion. The most important thing is this. Am I a sinner that is seeking Christ? What does Christ mean to me? Do I know him? And the question I would put to you this morning is, do you know Christ as your friend, an intimate friend? You see, it's so needful. It's so vital. We can come, we can be taken up with religion, we can come to all the services, we can talk about religion. And we can appear to be religious to many people, and people may say good things about us. But you see, it's this, the vital thing is this. Do I have this union with Christ? Do I know Christ? That is the thing, that is the vital thing. Do I know this living Saviour? Has he ever been manifest to me? Has he ever revealed himself to me? Because religion will do us no good. All our religion, all our chapel going, our upbringing, whatever it is, will do us no good. Unless we have this vital union with Christ. It's vital. It's most needful. We have to know him. He has to be revealed to us. We have to have this union, this living union and fellowship with Christ, if we're to get to glory at last. Because, let's face it, this morning, we are all journeying, aren't we? We've entered another new year and we're all on that journey. And remember this, there's a destination at the end of every journey, a destination. And we know from God's word, there is only two destinations. And that is so solemn. If we can sit here, if we can come here today, and not be concerned. Not be concerned about our never dying souls. Not be concerned about that destination that we're heading to. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? Because we're all journeying. From the very youngest of us here this morning, we're on a journey. And I put this to you because it's so important. What do you really think about your soul? How concerned are you about your soul? About that which is going to dwell in an eternal state? How concerned are you about it? Or aren't you? Doesn't it really matter? Are you not really concerned about whether you have this relationship, this union with Christ? Can you leave God's house this morning and just go on your way and carry on living your lives and not be concerned about where you will spend an eternity? Christ says to his disciples, "Ye now therefore have sorrow. But I know this means it will only be a sorrow to the living family of God when Christ is withdrawn from them. Because they know this, they have proved this, that Christ is their life. He is their peace. He is their joy. Everything that they need is treasured up in Christ. And He manifests that treasure to them. He pours down from heaven into their souls this treasure. And they know it must come from Him. They've experienced that. They felt that. When He goes away, they realize this, that He's their life. He is their all in all. They have sorrow there. But unless we're awakened and we're quickened by divine grace, we shall never know these things and we shall never desire these things. We shall be quite content with the things of this world. We shall be quite content with the course our lives are taking. And we shall be occupied in those things which are only satisfying our carnal desires. We shall be pleased with those things. But you see, the Lord would show to us that we need to be saved from these things. We desperately need to be saved from them. And this is the danger, because we can spend all our lives in religion and yet we are not true seekers of Christ. We are seeking the things of the world. We are satisfied with the things of the world. We're taken up with the things of the world. We enjoy the things of the world, not realizing that we're getting nearer and nearer to the end of that journey. We're getting nearer and nearer to our destination. And if Christ does not awaken us, And I ask you this morning, I ask every one of you, I ask myself this morning, have I been awakened to realize my need of Christ? Either I have or I have not. And I can tell you this, if we have been awakened, we'll be seeking Him. We shall be seeking Him because we shall know this. We want life. We want life and we want peace and we want joy. We want love. We want all those things that this world cannot give. Yes, you can have your cars, you can have your houses, you can have your holidays, but it's just as it were, it's a false joy, it's a false peace. It's something that lasts just for a moment, it's gone. But when Christ gives His peace, when He gives His joy, when He gives His love, there's something eternal about it. Something so precious about it, it just lifts you and delivers you from this world. And we need that. We need that, because if we don't experience that, we shall be content with the dying things of this world. We shall remain in that state. We shall love that state. And we do by nature. We love that state. to remain dead in sin. Pleasurable sin it may be. But we love to remain dead in sin. That is the state of man. That's the natural state of man. That's the state that he will, the course that he will follow. Because he loves sin. We all love sin. Pleasurable sin, we love it. It's in our nature to love it. It's a solemn thing, but we love it. But we need God to deliver us from it. And we're not going to have that sorrow until he delivers us. We're not going to know that sorrow until we've known his love, till we've known his mercy, till we've known his compassion. And then he withdraws and, oh, it will be like your world's falling apart. Well, Christ has been withdrawn. Oh, where are those precious moments? Where is that love I once knew? Where's that joy and that peace, that happiness? Where's that that just lifted me from this world? And we find this. We find this when Christ withdraws. We would return to our own place. We would return, as it were, just as though we wander back to our own course. We feel it. We realize it. We know it. We pray for a manifestation again of Christ's presence, of Christ's love. But I say this, if you've not tasted the preciousness of Christ, if you've not tasted this love of Jesus Christ, if you've not tasted the joy, something of the joy and the sweetness of heaven poured down into your soul, you cannot sorrow. In the way that the disciples sorrowed. You cannot know it. He says, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. So we need this revelation of Christ. If he doesn't reveal himself to us, we shall never know. We shall never know that mercy. And we shall never desire it. I know what it is to come to the house of God as an unconverted soul. I know what it is to sit under the ministry and to receive nothing. I know what it is to come and to be like a deaf man. Yes, sit under hundreds, perhaps thousands of sermons and not hear a word. Because I was dead. Dead in sin. Dead in the things of this world. Delighting in the things of this world. So it is God. It is God that showeth mercy. If he's going to deliver us from this awful state that mankind is in. And so the question this morning is, have you been delivered from that state, or are you still in that state? Are you one that is seeking Christ? Are you one that wants to know this union with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? It may be a searching question to you. But in some of you, it may not be a searching question at all. You may be able to sit here this morning, and I know what it is to sit there and not to be moved, not to have any desire for Christ. The Word of God tells us, and it's very true, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Now that is a fact. The scripture tells us that, and it is a truth. And so all I can say, if you have not been quickened into divine life, you sit here this morning and you see no beauty in Christ. There's no attraction in Christ to you. No attraction whatsoever. And the solemn thing about it is this. As I am here trying to speak, You know in your own heart whether Christ has been revealed to you. You know whether Christ has ever been made precious to your soul. You know that. And you know if he has not been made precious. Now that's a fact. That is something that you can look into your own heart and you can answer that question. You can say to yourself this morning, I know that Christ has not been made precious to me. He's not been revealed to me. Or you can say, Christ is mine. And I am his. Because he has been revealed to me. He has been manifest to me. I have heard his voice. He has shed abroad his precious love in my heart. I've tasted that he is gracious. He is kind. He is merciful. He is a compassionate Lord and Savior. And so the disciples were sorrowful. Christ was going to be taken away from them. But he says, I will see you again. And so I speak to the ones who are mourning an absent God. And I don't know how many here this morning are mourning. I hope all of you. But it may be just a handful of you. That's how sad it is. It may be just a handful of you that are mourning an absent God. And his message to you this morning is this. Because he knows who he has manifested his love to. And he knows where you are this morning. And he says this, I will see you again. I'm going to come again. And I shall come shortly. I shall come in the fullness of the blessing. I shall come in that presence, in that way, whereby I will lift you above all your fears and all your sorrows and all your tribulations, and you will possess me. That is wonderful, you know. The apostle said this, that he wanted Christ to be formed in him. And I believe all his people want that. Because it's the only way to joy and peace. It's the only way whereby his people can continue in this world as Christ is formed in them. It's a wonderful thing. It's like a taste of heaven. And what I fear is that perhaps not many of you know it. Not many of you have experienced it. And there's nothing like it. It's something that, it's heavenly. And so there's nothing on this earth that could be compared to it. Because it's so wonderful. It is so wonderful. A poor sinner on earth, standing there, communicating with God in heaven through Jesus Christ, and the glory of Christ being poured down into the soul of a sinner. It is nothing, there's nothing on this earth that could be compared to it. It's a taste of heaven. And he says this, he will see you again. So whoever you are, who's tasted his love, tasted that the Lord is gracious and have experienced the presence of Christ, he'll see you again. He isn't forgotten about you. But it is needful that he must be taken away from you at times, that you may value the presence of God and this peace and joy and love that he brings by his Holy Spirit. And so he comes in power and he comes in love. But it's this time, these seasons when he withdraws. These seasons when he is silent. These seasons when he does not speak to us. They're very sad times to the Lord's people because they've had such precious tastes of his grace here on earth and they want more of it. They want more of it. But I believe this. He's doing it for one reason. He's doing it because he is preparing us for a prepared place. And he is separating us from this world. He's separating us from all the lusts of our flesh, our sinful flesh. And that's a hard thing. That is a hard thing because we all have our weaknesses. We are carnal by nature. We're sold under sin. And so there's constantly a battle going on, isn't there? There's a warfare going on. I trust there is. I trust the devil's not having it all his own way with us. Solemn if it is that the old adversary is having all his own way and all we're doing is running after idols, following the world, following our lusts. That's a solemn thing. Because if Christ is not revealed to us, we will have sorrow at last. You understand that, don't you? We will have sorrow at last, but it will be an eternal sorrow. Perhaps some of you think this morning, do you think that I speak in a way which is too hard for you? Too searching? Are you able to receive the message? Are you able to receive this instruction? Or do you find in your heart, when you hear these things, there's something in your heart that rises up against it, and you hate the message? Because you love your lusts, you love the world, and you love the course that your life, as it were, is now taking. You love that course. And so when you hear the gospel, the searching message of God's gospel, your heart rises up against it and you reject it because you do not want to receive it. You don't want to be separated from the things that your carnal heart enjoys. And we must be separated from these things. And the Lord must do it. We need to be searched. The psalmist prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we have these wonderful words of Christ. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. What are your sorrows then, poor sinner, this morning? It may be that some of you have certain sorrows. But are they concerning your never dying soul? What are the sorrows you have? Is it something temporal? Is it something that you've got your heart set upon? And you've been disappointed. Is that your sorrow this morning? Yes, the world knows sorrow. The world have many sorrows. But they never have the sorrows of God's elect people. Ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again. What a blessed thing it is if we've been made mourners in Zion. Those that mourn over their sins, sorrowing because of sin. That is the greatest sorrow, I believe, that the Lord's people endure in their own souls, is that sorrow of sin. They feel it daily. Because they feel and they know the heart truly is deceitful, above all things and desperately wicked. And they have this fallen nature, this fallen heart, that they carry around with them. It's a grief to them, because they know they have something in them that cannot love God. Cannot love God. It is a trial to them. It's a trouble to them. So there is that constant warfare. We know that the elder shall serve the younger. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You see, the world would probably look at this text, and they would say, yes, I've had this sorrow, and I've had that sorrow. And, oh, what would cause my heart to rejoice? Perhaps they think of money, they think of riches, they think of wealth, they think of all these things. But not so with the child of God. Because he knows what the true riches are. He's received something of that true treasure, which is Christ formed in you, the hope of glory. And so he's above all these things. He knows something of the preciousness of Christ. But I will see you again. Yes, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Well, while we're here upon earth, you know, those joys, they seem to be taken from us. The Lord's people, they have times when they can rejoice. They have seasons of love and joy and peace. And then it seems as though those seasons, they pass through and the joy is taken from them. They lose the joy and they lose the peace and they lose their love. But you see, Christ speaks of that which will never be taken from them. And so I believe he's speaking of an eternal state. He's speaking of things hereafter. He would say to his disciples, what I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. So there comes a hereafter. And we must remember that. If we have that wisdom that God has given us, then it's this. It's hereafter. We know that this life is brief, it's short, it's not going to last long. If we live till 80 years, it's but a vapor. The word of God tells us that. It's not going to last long. But it's hereafter. That's the thing, isn't it? It's what will happen hereafter. What will happen to us in eternity? Will we be ever with the Lord? Or will we be separated from him? And so we have to say this. We must know the Lord now. We must love him now in this time state. If we're to love him hereafter, his love will be manifest to us now, in this time state. And so the Lord would have us to understand these things. He says to Martha, you know, that one thing which is needful, Martha. And we perhaps come into the house of God this morning and we've got many needs. We come in with all our temporal needs and there's things perhaps that we've laid before the Lord. We want all these things. We want answers to our prayers in all these things. But can we just commit it completely and totally into the hands of the Lord? Can we just leave it with him? Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit to be given to us that we may rest in Christ, we may trust in him, and just leave it all in his gracious hands. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. I thought of the sorrow of Christ, the sorrow that he bore when suffering for his people's sins. Do you know, when the servants of God preach Christ, it will be as to the living soul, it will be manna, it will be bread, it will be water, it will be life. But to a soul that's dead in trespasses and in sins, As I have said, Christ, there'll be no attraction, there'll be nothing for you to feed upon. When the servants of God preach Christ, you will not be able to partake of that feast unless Christ has been made precious to you. And so if you cannot understand, when you come into God's house and you hear Christ preached and you say, oh no, not that same old message, it's because you've never feasted on the Lamb of God. You've never feasted on Christ. And that is a solemn thing, because I know what it is as a young man to come to the house of God, and I heard the servants of God preach Christ, and I thought, why are they keep preaching Christ? You know, we've heard that message before. It just doesn't, it's just the same old message. It doesn't mean anything to me. And looking back now, I realize because I'd never feasted on Christ. He was never my meat and my drink. He was never my food. He was never sustenance to my soul. And so when you come into the house of God, and if you hear the message, if Christ is preached and you go away empty, it's because Christ has never been made life to your soul. You've never feasted on the Lamb of God. And these are solemn things. They're searching things. And you perhaps say, well, why are you telling us these things? Because I'm trying to show, as the Lord may help me, the state of your soul, the spiritual state of your soul, whether it's alive to the things of God or whether it's dead to the things of God, whether you really have received life, whether you really are drinking into the Spirit of Christ, or whether you're just an empty, barren sinner, without any life, without ever receiving anything. It's a solemn thing, isn't it, to go through life. To go through life and not to know Jesus Christ. The disciples loved him. The disciples knew him as their Lord. And they were very sorrowful when they knew that he was going to be taken from them. We know the effect. Peter and the disciples, what do? Well, Peter says, I shall go a-fishing. You know, the Lord's gone. There's no point in carrying on without him. Without him, we can do nothing. Let's go back to our fishing. And that's exactly what happens, isn't it? And we feel as though the Lord's been withdrawn. We go back to those things that we knew. And so the Lord comes, doesn't he, to the disciples. He's on the shore waiting. He's going to reveal himself again. He's waiting. He knows where they are. They're in their little vessel fishing, toiling all night, catching nothing. And so he knows where we are. He knows where we are in our soul's experience this morning. Whether we really are living members. Whether we are connected to the vine. You see, it's connected to Christ. We realize this, we can only receive the life, the sap, from the vine. We want him to appear. We want the Lord to come again where we are. And he appeared to the disciples. He knew where they were, he knew what they needed, and he was going to supply that need. He was going to appear to them again. And so we look for his appearing. They shall not be ashamed, but wait for me, says the Lord. And so we wait, we watch, we pray. And so we have the seasons when the Lord is withdrawn. We have those seasons where we do not feel his presence like we would desire to feel him. But that means we should continue in prayer and wait, because he will return. He knows where we are. He tries our faith. He teaches us patience. He teaches us to wait. And perhaps sometimes we may feel as though we've been waiting too long. Will the Lord ever appear? Will he ever come? Will he ever return? Will you ever bless me again? Will you ever come right where I am like that good Samaritan? Oh, it's as though I'm walking a lonely pathway. And the Lord has not yet come, and it's all dark, and it seems to be so distressing. This is the experience of the Lord's living family. The living family, those that have got life, those that know the Lord, those that have had Christ's love manifest to them. And so he says, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and it will rejoice. A few weeks ago, I was very tried, very troubled, very distressed, spiritually. And I remember, I thought, I've just got to get away. I've got to seek the Lord. I've got to get away alone and be with God. And I went out of the country, miles from home, and it was just vast countryside. And I walked over the fields, and I found a place where I could pray out aloud, and no one could hear me. And I stood there, and I felt in my soul, I felt my sin, I felt the darkness, the sorrow of the way. And I stood there and I just poured out my soul to God. I prayed and I cried to him and I pleaded with him for mercy, for his grace, for his love. And I stood there and I tell you, he came and he poured down into my soul and I felt the glory of God. And it was so great that I had to grab hold of the hedge, because the glory was so great that I had to plead for the Lord to withdraw. Because I knew this, that if he continued pouring down into my soul as he was doing, I just couldn't take it. Physically, I could not take it. It would have killed me. But you know, to my soul, it was the reviving what I need. The flesh couldn't glory in it because it was killing my flesh. But the soul, the new man, I could glory in it because it was revival. It was life to my soul. I could leave that place and I could say, he's revived me. He's visited me with his salvation. He's visited me with his love and his mercy. He's poured down from heaven into my soul the glory. And I've had a taste of heaven upon earth. And it really does separate you from this world. It really does lift you from this world. And I tell you, a taste of that glory, a taste of that heavenly glory, is just, there's nothing on this earth that compares to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing like it. But it's the places that we have to come to that make us feel our need of God's glory, of his love, of his dearly beloved Son. But he says, ye now therefore have sorrow. And I would say to you, you may have sorrow. You may have sorrow, but it's a good sorrow. It's a precious sorrow, because it brings you humbly to the throne of his grace. It brings you humbly to beg and to cry to God for his mercy and his compassion. And you will not cry in vain. You'll not seek him in vain. He knows the state of your heart, the state of your soul. And he knows what you need. And he will bring you. Yes, he brings the blind by a way that they know not. He will bring you again to that place where he will commune with you. Pour down into your soul. And it's most needful, isn't it? The world knew nothing of these things. And I thought to myself afterwards, I thought, if the world knew anything of this, they would love the Saviour too. And it's this, in their last hymn, we hope, Lord willing, to sing it. It's, give me Christ, or else I die. And I remember standing there, I was pleading with God, oh, it's Christ I need. Lord, give me Christ, give me Christ. It's the Saviour I need. And I was crying out to Him, Lord, give me Christ, or else I die. I need Christ. And I was not disappointed. But I tell you this, a taste of that on earth, and you enter into the experience of the apostle, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Well, I'll leave it there. May the Lord add His blessing. Amen.